Hi guys, welcome to the Maven House podcast. I'm Ashley, not your usual host, but I'm here with Vanessa Gracia Cruz for another exciting episode of the Maven House podcast. This is going to be part two of our questions and answers, and we're really excited. All right, let's jump in. So the first question would be, what is the most difficult thing you have had to face during your life?
Definitely the most difficult thing. Well, I would, I think I have a tie between my years of infertility and losing my mom. But if I had, if one had to trump the other, it would definitely be losing my mom. I would say it was even harder. Yeah, those are just incredibly difficult things to go through. They taught me a lot. So it's one of those things that I know God worked all things together for good. Still, if you asked me in my humanity, because I am still human, if you know, because I have had that question before, like people have asked me, did you grow from those experiences? And I'm like, yes, I grew. Would you go through them again? I'm like, absolutely not. Like, I have to be honest, I absolutely would not go through them again if I had the choice. But I guess that's why you don't get to choose, because sometimes they're just things that have to happen, and only the Lord knows why. Maybe when I get to heaven, he'll tell me.
That'd be great.
Why? That'd be great.
I would love to hear that response too. I'll be behind you like, can you explain, like,
what's
please?
What's going on there?
Because I'm also very curious. Alrighty, the second question is, how do I have patience with people constantly, when people constantly disrespect you?
How do I have patience with people when they constantly?
Yeah, not just once, but on multiple occasions.
Well, patience is a fruit of the spirit. So the only way to have patience in any situation, whether it's because you're going through something tough or yes, you're being disrespected, whatever the situation may be, is to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit and to constantly allow him to cultivate that in you. I mean, you have to know, and I've heard this, you know, before, that the way to develop a fruit is that you have to be sowing seeds, and it's a process, you know? So the first time you exercise that patience, it's going to be a lot harder than the second time or the third time or the fourth time. But you have to continue developing it and allow it to develop in you. I'll also say that the more firm you are in your relationship with Christ, and the more you confident you are in that relationship and in his word and in who his word says you are, the less people's disrespect will bother you. I am a person who I have developed, and I don't say this to brag, I just say this because I'm so thankful that I'm not the way I used to be. I used to care a lot what people thought about me. I was very easily offended. I was very easily hurt, especially if people thought I was bad when I was trying to be good, you know, which is something I see a lot, especially in young Christians and people who come to Christ. It's like, you know, but I'm trying to show love, but they still think I'm showing hate. I'm trying to show, you know, I'm trying to be a good leader, and my girls don't respect it, or my parents don't understand it, whatever the question, whatever the situation may be. But I've learned that the more rooted I am in love, the more I am able to kind of let other people's things be other people's things.
Yeah.
So now when somebody comes and says something against me, I'm able to be very critical and think to myself, is that the truth of who I am? You know, am I really acting the way that person says I'm acting? Is that really something that I need to fix before God? Or is that person just speaking out of their own hurt, their own insecurity, their own issues, which a lot of times that's what disrespect is. Disrespect a lot of times is people projecting onto you emotions that they don't know how to handle, and so I'm able to brush them off because I'm like, okay, you know, that's what you think, and that's okay. And that, coupled with learning that you can't control other people, there's a huge freedom that comes when you realize that you cannot control anybody but yourself. We do grow up kind of thinking that people disrespecting us is our own, is our problem and our fault, you know, like, okay, well, I can't allow them to disrespect me. Well, you can't stop them from disrespecting you. You actually can't stop somebody from disrespecting you. You can choose not to give it importance. You can choose not to internalize it. You can choose not to believe what they're saying. And you can also choose to put space between you and that person, which are all things that if you learn to do them in a healthy way, you will develop more and more patience, because things are not hitting you from this close. You know, they're hitting you from some space away. If there's somebody who is constantly disrespecting you, put space between you and that person, whether it's physical space or just emotional space. Because I know sometimes those of us that are young and those of you guys that are still living with your parents, you might be like, well, I can't put physical space between me and my mom. Where am I going to go? Okay, you can't put physical space, but you can put emotional space between you and that person by simply saying, you know, when that person disrespects you, Lord, that's not what I feel about myself. That's not what you say in your word about me. And that's not what I'm going to internalize. Mm. And I'm going to keep on going. And I'm going to ask you, Holy Spirit, to reveal to that person the truth of what they're saying, you know, and the impact of what they're saying so that they can change. And all of that, again, going back to the beginning of the question, takes patience. You know, it takes you being able to do that, because what we want is for right away that person to feel the hurt that they're making us feel.
Yeah.
But that's not what Christ instructed us to do. That's mm-hmm. not what he taught us. And we have to develop that character to be able to
do the right thing. I feel like I knew, but I was affirmed more when I started working with you and spending more time with you and seeing how you take on something that not a lot of people are talking about, which is emotional health and understanding that God cares about you just as much as he cares about the other people out there. He cares about all of us. Mm-hmm. And it's just been really inspiring, because you can go your entire life knowing a concept but not truly understanding it. And so it's very easy to stray away from that, I feel. Even growing up, I always had the mentality, well, you never know what's going on at home. You never know what's going on behind the scenes. We can only see so much. But, you know, obviously when other people, especially if you are... we talked in the last episode about, you know, being the example for someone, especially if you're a Christian and they're not. I think it's even very easy to stray from your beliefs, especially when they're like, well, why would you, why, you okay, but that's not an excuse for them to do what they do. But working with you has shown me, like, the reasoning why I think that way. It's not even a concept that I think we ourselves want to acknowledge and want to take on, but it's something that, you know, God obviously puts in us as, you know, like a little bit of his fingerprint within our hearts. Mm-hmm. And then even working with you, seeing the actual reasons behind it, has been something that it's like, once you understand, it's not just, you don't want, just want to be patient because they're disrespecting you, because it's a fruit of the Spirit, but it's also, it's something that pleases God. It's something that will even help you, because it's mm-hmm. going to be like very difficult to carry that load and carry everything that they're saying, but also try to show them compassion and be patient and love them and do everything that, you know, the fruit of the Spirit is. So I'm really glad you say that. And shout out to Maven House. We're actually talking about boundaries this month.
Balance and boundaries.
The emotionally healthy boot camp. I've seen this content that's going to be in there, and it's pretty good. You're probably too late to sign up, but next time they offer it, I promise you need to sign up. I'll link it in our bio. The next question is, if you could ask Jesus to change one problem in the world today, which problem would you pick?
Wow.
There's like a lot of problems, huh?
Yeah. if the Lord, it's just interesting, because I could ask Jesus to solve this problem, but I think that this is a problem that everybody has to choose to get solved on their own. Mm. So I don't know about the theology of this question. Yeah, because like, this is not something that is, because God has given us free will, but I do think this is the biggest problem that faces us today. I'll say that. So the theology of whether we have to fix it or Jesus has to fix it, or, you know, both of us together, which is probably the answer, I'm not going to get into that. But I do think the biggest issue that faces us is just not knowing who we are in Christ. Yeah. I think that that's something that faces both believers and non-believers. I do think there are believers who do not know who they are in Christ, because even though they're believers and they've said that prayer of salvation and they have begun a relationship with Christ, they haven't looked into the word to actually learn who they really are. And so even as believers, they are not having access, they're not enjoying this access that God has given us to so much blessing and yeah. so much health and so much peace and so much patience, you know, all the things we've been talking about today. And if we were able to do that, if we could look into God's word and also through prayer and through spending time with God and spending time in his presence, we really learned who we are, that would be the answer to so many problems. You know, mm-hmm. relationship problems would diminish because we wouldn't be getting our approval from people. We'd be getting our approval from mm-hmm. God. Relationship problems would diminish because we wouldn't be accepting people who don't treat us the way we know we deserve to be treated according to God's word. Just a whole bunch of things in life would just change. You know, depression would lift, anxiety would lift, so many things would lift because mm-hmm. we would just have access to the riches and glory that the word of God tells us we have. So that would be the problem that I would love to fix. But again, I think that we are a part of that. You know, that's a problem that God is not just going to come and, you know, say abracadabra and that's it. Everybody knows their identity. He would have done it already.
Yeah,
he has it there for us. He literally has it in his word. We live in a country where we have unlimited access to the word of God. If you open your smartphone right now, chances are you have a Bible app. Even if you've never read the Bible, you got the Bible app just out of conviction. You're like, okay, you know, as a Christian, I should probably have this app. Yeah, exactly. I should probably have this app. So just read it. It's there. Like, it's there. It's available to you.
That's good.
And if you don't know how, go to Maven House. Go to becomeamaven.com and get some Bible studies and see what God has for you.
I'm going to see if we can get a coupon link down here. JK, like, let's sign up. Alrighty. The next question is, how do you walk out in faith?
I think it looks different for every person, but I can tell you a few ways that you can start. First, you're never walking out in faith if you are not sure that that's what God has spoken. And you don't always have to be, and let me not say sure, but you're never walking out in faith just because you are walking out. When you're walking out in faith, the definition of that is that you have faith in what God is going to do. So you need his direction to do it. So I kind of went a lot of places there, but I hope I landed it. You need God's direction to do it. So if you need to walk out in faith in something, it needs to begin with prayer. It needs to begin with conversations with God. It needs to begin with having God at the center. And I say this because I'll have a lot of people, especially young people, who they're like, okay, I want to walk out in faith to go to this school that I think that I need to go to. And I'm like, okay, how do you know God wants you to go to that school? And they'll be like,
that's a good question.
Yeah. And they're like, but I want to walk out in faith. Okay, there's a difference between walking out and just doing something you're not sure about mm-hmm. and walking out in faith. The Bible tells us that faith is the certainty of what we have not yet seen. It's the certainty in what God has promised. So if you're just walking out in unsureness, that's not walking out in faith. That's just walking. You know, and you can do that, but you're going to have to deal with the consequences of that. But what we can't do is come back later and be like, but God, I walked out in faith. I went to this school walking out in faith. And God's like, I never told you to go there. So it has to start with God at the forefront. And a few other things you can do to make sure that you know that you're walking in faith and not just walking is reading the word. I'm always going to be a big proponent of reading the word. God really does speak through his word. In fact, it says in the book of Hebrews that the word of the Lord is living and active, that it's sharper than any double-edged sword and capable of separating the spirit and flesh. When you're not sure if a decision is God-led or you-led, go to the word because the word will make it plain to you. And if you are not in the habit of reading the word, you might be like, that's impossible. I read the word and I just see Moses and this and this and that. Well, first of all, you haven't read enough of it and you haven't gotten into the practice of understanding it. Just like any other language, in order to understand God's word, you have to be immersed in it. You have to be constantly going to it. So prayer, the word, and the last and one of the very most important things is seeking wise counsel. The book of Proverbs says plans fail for lack of counsel. Go to people who have fruit. Go to people who know more than you. Go to people who have true and genuine relationships with God that you believe in, that you have seen proof of. You know, the Bible says a good tree cannot give bad fruit and a bad tree cannot give good fruit. So go to somebody who has that good fruit and talk to them about what you're going through. You know, I think a lot of times we go to our pastors, our youth pastors, our leaders, and we tell them what we want to do. You know, we go to them and we say, okay, so, you know, I'm again, the example of the school. I'm going to this school. I'm stepping out in faith. So please pray for me as I go. And your leader's just like, okay, like, I mean, can't control you. So just you do you. It's so different when you go to somebody and you say, hey, look, these are the things I'm thinking. These are the things I'm feeling. These are the things I'm walking through. I went to the Lord, but I haven't really gotten an answer, but I read this in the word. Is this what it means? Is that what that means in the book of Hebrews, or am I misunderstanding? That's called getting wise counsel. And if you do those three things, you're going to be on such a better path to walk out in faith. You're not just going to be walking out on air. You're going to actually be walking out on the word of God and on faith. And the word says that those who act on the word of God are never left, they're never embarrassed. You know, they're never put to shame. Those who act on the word of God. But what is the issue with a lot of people that you see, quote unquote, stepping out in faith? They're not stepping out in faith. They're just stepping out. You know, they're just walking somewhere. Yeah, the faith, or they have faith maybe in themselves or faith in their emotions, but they're not putting their faith in something that is solid, which is the word of God.
That's really good. And our final question is, what is your favorite book in the Bible and why?
My favorite book in the Bible, and you might have picked it up, Ashley had a little smirk there, and it's because it was our first group reading as part of Maven House, and you still have time to access the study guide and everything, because my favorite book of the Bible is the book of John, and there's a few reasons why. I love the book of John. I mean, I love the word of God, so I hate picking a favorite, but personally, I love the book of John because it is one of the gospels, which means you get to witness the life of Jesus as you're reading it. I think it's so important as people who are saying that we have a relationship with Christ, that we actually know the things he actually said and the things he actually did, which is why I believe that the gospels are possibly the most important books in the Bible. I say possibly because I say that with a lot of reverence and faith, and I'm sure somebody might, you know, watch this and be like, no, it's not. You know, it's this or it's that, or, you know, the whole word of God is important. But the gospels are so important because you have to know what Jesus actually did. You have to know what Jesus actually said. Mm-hmm. If you want to know the character of somebody, you have to look at their actual life, not just what other people say about them. And when I say that, I'm not talking about the word. I'm talking about how sometimes we go and we hear what the pastor says about Jesus, but we're only getting part of the picture because the pastor is not explaining an entire book of the Bible, sometimes not even an entire passage. He's just giving his insight and what the Lord has spoken to him about a specific passage. So it's so important for you also to go back and get the context. What was everything else the pastor was seeing? That's even going to give you better understanding of what your pastor is preaching. And so that is why I love the book of John. I also love the book of John because John and Jesus had such a special relationship, which I love. I like to think that I have a John type relationship with Jesus. I mean, I would love to think that. And that by that, I mean that they had a genuine friendship. John was part of Jesus's family. He was actually his younger cousin. So he got to see Jesus's humanity, but at the same time, it never allowed him to lose awe or reverence or just wonder at the fact that Jesus was also 100% God. And there's something so beautiful in that. And he's also, in my opinion, the person who speaks the most beautifully on the Holy Spirit. John 14, 15, 16, he speaks about how Jesus is going to leave the Holy Spirit. And he says, you know, he retells us what Jesus said in his own words about the Holy Spirit as well. And those are just some of my favorite passages in the Bible. So I totally recommend, if you haven't read a book of the Bible, that you read the book of John. And we have a whole study guide that I wrote based on that book that I love so much on becomeamaven.com.
Yeah. So
that's where it's at.
That's our episode for today, guys. As Vanessa said, please go to becomeamaven.com. Look at all the great courses, resources, everything that we have. We have something for absolutely everyone. And check us out on Instagram at Maven House Women. We post frequently. We literally put our entire lives on there. And I've seen Vanessa put her blood, sweat, and tears into this. And honestly, it's a gift. Honestly, that's what it is. We pay $7.99. And yes, it is an investment, but realistically, it's more of a gift because I feel like $7.99 for the content that you get monthly is, you're basically, you know, being rewarded all these wonderful, like, just all the fruit and the knowledge that you've already gone through. It's something that even for a young girl like me in my early 20s, it's great to not have to go through that because you've already went through that. You've written, you know, the advice. You've basically broken it down into such a simple way that we can just go ahead and find it on the internet. So make sure you check us out, and we can't wait to see you on the next episode. We'll see you later, Mavens.
See you guys soon. Don't forget to subscribe.